all about him. Well, I didn't get mad. And that brings the next gimmick. Let the other fellow get mad. Why should I get mad? Somebody talks about me, he's unhappy. He wouldn't be talking about you. Let him get mad. I was up here to the Northern California Conference a few years back. And when I arrived, one of the fellows came and said, Father, there's someone talking about you terrible. You better do something about it. I said, I should do something about it? Let him get mad. I'm happy. I'm going to stay happy. Let the other fellow get mad. Then I got another little notice. You know, I have what we call retreats in various parts of the country. So this came from one of the states, from someone who wrote to New York, and he went like this. He said, this here priest, what is coming to our state to give a retreat, we are 100% in AA to a man against this. I thought, gee golly. Then a note from the central office said, since they are against it, 100% to a man, therefore maybe you better call off the retreat. So I just said, down wrote a note. I said, don't worry your pretty head. Since they're against it 100%, there won't be anybody there. So why call it off? Let the other guy get mad. Then the next gimmick is, in every group of human beings, there is always one who is against everything and everybody. God puts them there for a reason. To give the other members of the group a chance and an opportunity to practice patience and tolerance and charity. I made that statement to a group one night in another talk, and a fellow came up to me afterwards. He says, Father, he says, thank God for you making that statement. He says, now I feel I'm some benefit around here. And the next gimmick is, if someone calls you an SOB, you either are or you aren't. And if you are, so what? And if you aren't, there's no use making yourself one by getting mad about it. All rumor about me is either true or false. If it's true or if it's false, my getting mad about it is not going to change it. It's not going to change me. So therefore, whatever they say, let them say it. Why get disturbed about it? Then the next gimmick is, if someone talks about you, either fight or forget it. But if you fight, be sure first you like to fight. If we want to object to anything, be sure it's not going to upset us before we begin to object. Then the next gimmick I have Bishop Sheen to thank for. He used it in one of his programs a year or two back, and it goes like this. If you get kicked in the pants, it can only mean one thing. You're still in front. The next gimmick is, criticism is the unconscious tribute that mediocrity and stupidity pay to success. So don't get mad. Take a bow. I'm going to repeat that because I think it has so much wisdom to it. Criticism is the unconscious tribute that mediocrity and stupidity pay to success. So don't get mad. Take a bow. Then now I'm going to throw out a little gimmick bag into which you can put all the gimmicks, and it can flow into them and they can flow into it. I think there's a song on the market by that with such a title. And it is this: how important can it be? After all, go back 6 months, 6 years, go back the rest of your life. How important were the things that upset us? Yesterday or tomorrow, when things happen, if we just remind ourselves, how important? What does it mean to us over a lifetime? After all, if I'm driving along the highway and I come upon a detour, why should I get upset? As long as they lift it in time to answer the horn of Gabriel on Judgment Day. That's all that's necessary. Now, let's see how we can use these principles in our everyday affairs. First, in our home life. And there, particularly, we need to apply the refusal to refill the irritation. We'll always have irritations in the home. There's no family that don't have their fights. You know, it's a shame the way some parents try to train their kids to believe that they're the only family that has fights. You've heard, you know, why can't you be like the Jones boys? You never see them fighting. Of course, they don't let you see them. They pull the blinds when they fight. But they will not become resentments if we refuse to refill them. Remember the advice they used to give newlyweds? Or something like that. Never let the sun go down on anger. Which is another way of saying, don't let resentment take hold. And of course, we as alcoholics, if we permit resentment to stay inside, you know what's going to happen? That's going to grow in there, and grow and grow and grow, and someday, sooner or later, it's going to blossom and bloom into four beautiful roses. Then to eliminate those resentments that do creep in the home, we must practice actions of love. Actions of love. I don't mean lovemaking. That's the reward of love. And if that's all there is, there ain't going to be anything pretty soon. It's like the icing on the cake. If there ain't no cake, there ain't going to be no icing. So actions of love means doing things for the other. Just because you love them. Now ask yourself, how long has it been since you did something for your husband or your wife or one of the family just because you love them? And isn't it strange, any professional man has had the experience, the average person who comes with problems will start out, and she won't do this, he won't do that. Who loves whom? Loving is doing for. That's the reason we say that love ultimately is sacrifice. That's the reason we say the greatest love that a person can have is the one who gives his life for his friend. It's giving, doing for, actions of love, day in and day out. And then use all the gimmicks you can in the home. In our social life, we cannot, as alcoholics, tolerate resentment. Therefore, we can avoid a lot of occasions if we practice humility. Again, don't forget, the biggest head is the biggest target. And the littlest head is the smallest target. Humility is truth. I am what I am. Then we can avoid a lot of resentment by refusing to refill all the things that people say. Let them go. Use all the gimmicks. What difference does it make? And then practice actions of love. Then even in our business setup, no businessman who was full of resentment ever had any business acumen. Those are the ones who go bankrupt. You've heard them. I'll undersell them if not, it breaks me. And it does. And then also refuse to refill the injustices, of which there will be many, because the clear mind is the mind of judgment, not the mind that's filled with resentment. And even in financial things, an attitude of humility is the stabilizing influence. Remember what Job said? The Lord gave, the Lord take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he was the prime model of patience. That's an attitude of humility towards material things. Whatever we have, God gave it to us. You say, well, I worked for what I got. You did. And who gave you the ability to work and the talent and placed you in the circumstances wherein you are? God. Whatever I have, I owe to God. God gave and God will take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's an attitude of humility. Then we won't be so upset by losses or by a failure to make as much as we think we should. and various other financial problems that come along. We will avoid resentment. And then actions of love financially means to share what God gave us. Let go of the bucks, you know, to somebody who needs it. The guy or the gal who's down on his haunches now, like some of us were one time, share it with him. That is financially practicing actions of love. That will lead us to avoid resentment against these bums, you know. These guys always got their hand out, stuff like that. Actions of love. Then in our emotional life, tension, upset, and all those things come from resentment. In our physical life, ulcers, tiredness, even such a thing as an actual pain in the neck. It has been proven that it can come from resentment. Psychosomatic medicine has discovered that many a case of actual pain was caused by being resentful against somebody else. Remove that person, or remove the person from that person, no longer have any pain. It's a resentment that caused the pain. Then in our thought life, refuse to refill. That's practicing mental hygiene. As these irritations arise, let them go. Refuse to refill. Then in our AA life, gossip and slander and killing the message instead of carrying the message are all a byproduct of resentment. Therefore, we should practice humility. After all, no matter who I am, I'm just another member of AA. That's all. Doing the best he can with the 12 steps as the best we understand them. Staying sober and trying to make ourselves more ready to help the guy that asked for sobriety. That's all. Oh, no big shots in AA. I happen to have been the first priest in AA. That's nothing to me. I just happen to be in that spot. And I'll give you a clue. I wasn't quite willing either at the time. You know, it's amusing to me in some groups how they make a big play on the first member in this group. He's such a big guy. Why, he just happened to be the guy when it came along. Just another member of AA. That's an attitude of humility. Then when things happen in AA, no matter who does it or who says it, whether it's anybody from the there ain't no higher than others, so from anybody, no matter who says it, let them say it. I'm going to give you one final little gimmick in here. Words can never hurt us unless we let them. Now, you had that in school days. Remember? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt us unless we let them.